This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West, coming in from the beautiful state of Florida, Tampa, Florida, where Glenn West got to witness. Probably, Glenn, you know, objectively, one of the best bowl games out of the non-playoff games that we got to see, just from, if you're a college football fan. Now, I know LSU fans were stressed there for a little bit, but man, LSU gets the big win over Wisconsin in the ReliaQuest Bowl. We recapped, that yesterday, but wanted to kind of get your thoughts of any things that you saw in person and just your overall thoughts from the game and what stood out.
Yeah, so I think just kind of having boots on the ground, it gives you a different perspective. You know, we weren't watching the live broadcast or anything, but I do think that the offense was probably something that stood out to me. I mean, going in, we were all curious about how it would look, how it would be called for Garrett Nussmeier, how he would look in that game. Really thought that they did a nice job overall. You know, look, there's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. There was obviously the interception, which was not a great read, great throw from Nuss on that part. But, there were a couple of, it took them a while to get the run game going too, which really never was kind of established. And you really had to lean heavily on Nuss's arm in this game. So you would have liked to have seen, I guess, a little bit more consistency in the run game. But at the same time, after not scoring in the first quarter, I think you score touchdowns on four of your next five drives or five of your next six, something like that, and you're able to kind of ride the momentum there going into the stretch, down the stretch there. And that to me, I think, was probably the biggest thing, just in terms of watching the game. That 98-yard touchdown drive at the end there, that's kind of what I think you can expect from this offense going forward. That was a really, really impressive drive for Nussmeier, obviously, for a lot of the players involved. I mean, you look at the pieces that were involved in that drive. Kyron Lacy catches a 43-yard catch. I think it was Hilton that caught the 37-yard catch. I think you had Caleb Jackson in there for a lot of that drive as well. And then you cap it off, obviously, with the 4-yard touchdown to Brian Thomas. But a lot of those pieces that were utilized on that final drive, those are going to be big-time players for you next year. And guys that, you hope are going to be able to take that next step. And I did think that Kyron Lacy had a really nice game. I thought Chris Hilton played really well. Caleb Jackson obviously had the 12-yard touchdown run. Josh Williams, we're still not sure, obviously, what he ultimately decides. But 12 carries for 51 yards, average 4 yards a carry. He did his job. I thought he did a really nice job, kind of leading the rushing attack. And you were able to get a bunch of guys involved. Mason Taylor, 7 catches for 88 yards. Like, there was some real positive developments there, I think, offensively, that you can really lean into this offseason now that, Nuss has 5-6 months to work with these guys and get that timing correct with him as the starter. And then you kind of look at the other side of this, and very inconsistent defensive performance. You know, I would go as far to say it was a very poor defensive performance for most of the game. You got a couple stops there down the stretch. That last stop was you know, I think something they can pat themselves on the back for. Obviously, the Greg Penn sack there on fourth down that kind of put everything into perspective and got LSU, you know, kind of solidified with that win. But look, the secondary, you know, was really beat on, I think, a lot for a lot of this game. You had the Tanner Mordecai came in, I think, with six touchdowns. He had two by the end of the first quarter, finished with three. He threw for a season high 378 yards. I mean, LSU's defense made him look pretty unstoppable for a lot of that game. And, mm-hmm. you know, credit to him. He was making some really good throws as well, but I think it was also just an indication of, okay, I think there's going to be some changes that definitely need to be made here. You know, I think that was a reaffirmation, and I wrote this in our three observations piece that there needs to be some kind of change on the defensive side of the ball with the continuity you have returning from a personnel side. I just don't see how it makes much sense to walk it back with a lot of the same coaches. So I do think that there's going to be some decisions made here over the coming days and weeks. Now that the season is over, that seems to be what Brian Kelly wanted to do, was wait until they got through this bowl game, got through recruiting for the most part of this 2024 class. And now he can really evaluate the staff and make the proper calls here on defense and on offense. When you know, if they think that they, you know, have Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton penciled in as the offensive coordinators or not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we went from about a week and a half, Glenn, to, oh, they're going to play Wisconsin the bowl game, to just a plethora of storylines coming out of this game. And look, I thought that Brian Kelly and Garrett Nussmeier did a good job of kind of talking about the game post-game, but also just kind of relaying, hey, this is what we have going forward. You know, this is what we hope to accomplish going forward. Obviously, offensively, you know, they feel good about their chances. You know, I mentioned, too, in a day and age where – people might look at bowl games and say, oh, you know, it is what it is. This is massive. Like, we saw how massive the Citrus Bowl or the Cheez-It Bowl, whatever you want to call it, last year was for a guy like Malik Nabers. You know, maybe in September, October, we're talking about, man, aren't LSU fans glad that Garrett Nussmeier got to take over the reins in that bowl game to get game reps, game speed reps that are going to matter really ultimately more than anything he can get, you know, in a workout in t-shirt shorts. I mean, it's just, you can't really replicate that, especially that 98-yard drive that you went to. But, you know, when you look ahead to next season and into this offseason, Nussmeier was talking about, you know, it builds confidence. It gives guys confidence that I think maybe needed it. And for me, you know, guys that have to step up because of, you know, outgoing NFL talent, I think, you know, games like Mason Taylor, like that was a massive storyline in this game where maybe Taylor gets more involved in, you know, what we thought he was going to be this season and becomes a favorite target for Nussmeier. But what do you think it does for the confidence of some of these guys that say, hey, you have to take a step up, and you kind of showed that you can do that in a game like this?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, majorly important. I mean, I think, you know, at least offensively, the scheme early on was quick, short reads. Getting some chunk yards here and there, which was something that fits the Mason Taylor profile perfectly. I mean, going back to his freshman year, he was kind of the safety valve, I would say, for Jaden in his first year as a starter. You certainly saw that with Nussmeier here in his first start, how, you know, he didn't have a ton of, like, you know, deep throws to Mason Taylor. There were a lot of chunk yardage that Mason was able to turn up field for yards after the catch. But yeah, it's a big step forward, I think, for him. I mean, that was his best game of the year for Taylor. I think there you can make an argument that it was certainly Chris Hilton's best game of his career. I mean, like, he looked like a legitimate SEC receiver, and that was, you know, he just kind of got caught behind, you know, two of the best in the conference or in the country this year, and Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. So you just didn't get to see a whole lot of these guys outside of a Kyron Lacy make that kind of impact that you were hoping they could. But, you know, I think a lot of those guys stepped up in the bowl practices. You could see it with Shelton Sampson. I thought he had a really nice, mm-hmm. you know, several days of bowl practices. Didn't get a catch in this one, but I think he's still a big part of the program's future at receiver, and they would love to get him further involved. You know, look, there's obviously this thing hanging over LSU's head right now with Zalance Hurd and kind of where He ends up going, what they ultimately decide, what conversations they have this week about maybe getting him to stay. But, you know, DJ Chester, I thought, you know, came in and had some nice moments. I thought you had your pretty much your entire offensive line out there for most of the game. And it just did a really nice job overall, I think, of kind of, you know, giving Nussmeier some time. You know, they weren't putting, you know, they weren't opening up the whole playbook for him. They were just making it simple reads, simple constructions here with their scheme early on in the game. And I think as you saw, as this offense got a little bit more and more comfortable, that they were willing to take some more chances. When you saw the deep ball to Brian Thomas early in the game, that was a good sign for me that they trust Nuss completely to run this offense, and that he's going to be willing to make those throws. I think it was just about more them trying to get him into a rhythm. And I think that was absolutely the way you go. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the offensive side of things. I don't know if there's anybody defensively that maybe you wanted to shout out that, you know, could kind of take this into the off season in terms of performance. I mean, guys like Deshaun Womack, maybe, Whit Weeks, you know, just anybody that kind of stood out to you on the defensive side that kind of could take this momentum and fuel it into the off season.
Well, you know, you mentioned Womack, and that was a guy that we highlighted in kind of the preview of, you know, he's going to get the start. How can he take this and use it as a launching pad? But I even throw another one out there. You know, it's still kind of unsettled what Mekhi Wingo is going to do, you know, with his decision. But Mason Smith, I mean, I thought Mason Smith probably looked the best that he had looked all year. And it wasn't just in spurts. Like, he was consistently beating his man. Looked like the pad level was way better. I saw one, Glenn, and I know this is more from the broadcast angle. It was one of the final two drives. I think it was the last drive where Pete Jenkins comes over and like kind of gives Mason Smith the hug. So if you've ever seen Pete Jenkins and Mason Smith, two vastly different size humans, those two guys, you know, embracing. And so I think it's probably been a frustrating season for Mason Smith, knowing the competitor that he is, how much he wants to be out there. I still sit in the camp of, look, he might have physically recovered from that ACL tear, but the mental battle, the mental hurdle to be able to play at an elite level like he can was something that was missing. And so I don't think that he was necessarily the best player out there for you. I just think we saw some things of, okay, that's what Mason Smith can be when he was disrupting, you know, Tanner Mordecai and that Wisconsin offense. But yeah, I think Smith was nice. You know, if Wingo decides to come back, you really got to kind of see, Glenn, especially on those final two drives, what they can do, you know, along that defensive front.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. I think that those two, and why you haven't seen LSU maybe go head over heels in the defensive line in the portal is because they feel good about where they're at with those two guys. I mean, we'll wait and see, obviously, what their ultimate decisions are. But you know, I think LSU is going to be in a good position on the interior D line. I mean, not to kind of jump ahead here or jump around, but like the recruiting here has really taken off. I mean, obviously the addition of Dominic McKinley now, yeah. You add that to this group. Gabriel Relaford is a guy you picked up right before the early signing period, probably more of an edge, but another big body that you can kind of throw down there to maybe compete for some snaps. I mean, you got hopefully Parrish Shan coming back. You've got obviously Braden Swinson, who didn't play in this game. I think he was a little nicked up. But, you know, he certainly is a guy that I think can help you fill that jack spot and certainly can contribute with Womack and Jackson Howard, who I thought also had some good snaps in there as well yesterday. So I think that they're slowly but surely getting this thing and on the right course. And look, when you think about what they had to go through last year as a defensive line, they went from Jamar Cain to Jimmy Lindsey. Unfortunately, with what happened with Jimmy Lindsey, he had to kind of step away from the team for a bit. You got John Jancic, you got Pete Jenkins. I mean, that's a lot of ears or a lot of mouths in kind of your ear there for a good portion of the year in terms of how they see the game, how they want you to develop. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll see kind of what happens here. But bringing in somebody maybe to help with the defensive line or to be the D-line coach while Lindsey continues his recovery in an administrative role, that does seem to be where it's kind of leaning right now. And if you go out there and you bring in somebody that can be a really good developer, a really good recruiter for you, build that room back up to where you know it can be under in this program, then that would check a lot of boxes, I think, in terms of kind of the decisions that LSU and Brian Kelly want to make this offseason in regards to the coaching staff.
Wanted to kind of end it with this topic of conversation because I thought it was interesting that Kelly was asked about this, and it's been something that you and I have talked about, whether it's on the podcast, whether it's in the press box. But, you know, within the scope of where this program was just two seasons ago, you know, Brian Kelly was asked, you know, where he felt like the program was, and a word that he consistently used was he feels like it is stabilized. They've kind of gotten themselves on solid footing. It does not mean that they're happy with a 10-win season. It's not the goal. He's reiterated that very passionately several times throughout the season. But your thought, because, look, you covered this team two years ago. You saw what this team looked like when Kelly took over. Where do you feel like the growth has just been, and how impressed have you been the job with taking what was 34, 35, 36 scholarship players and turning that into back-to-back 10-win seasons? And now as you enter a year where you're in the 12-team playoff, you can say, okay, now we have gotten to – you know, a foundation, we've stabilized ourselves. Now it's time to really begin that ascent.
Yeah, I think stabilized was a good word that he used. I do think that they're probably in a better position offensively than maybe defensively. And we've talked about that a ton here over the last month. They've got to get this to be a more competitive, aggressive defense for this team to be taking that next step. And, you know, we've seen it some with their additions via the 2024 class and out of the portal. But I think everyone would be in agreement that they would like to see more in terms of additions and in terms of bringing in impact high-level winners into the program on that side of the ball to really help you kind of take that next step and get a little bit more even keel with where the offense is at. Because, look, offensively, I think they're in a great spot. I think they're in a really nice spot. They obviously just had a really historic season under Jaden Daniels. But even watching yesterday, I think you can see that this is a group that can continue to have success even without the Heisman Trophy winner here. I mean, I think that they can continue to evolve as a group. It might not look the same. It might not be quite what it was this year. But I don't think most offenses could be quite what LSU was this year. I mean, it was a pretty historic one-of-one kind of year for LSU. So, look, I think that they've set the principles in place. I think they have a lot of guys now that have been in the system now for two seasons that kind of understand what the expectations are, what they're going to be asked to do on a day-in, day-out basis, and you kind of get those guys to be the leaders of this thing, and you try to bring those other guys along, those newcomers, those maybe those one-year transfers that you're bringing in, there's two-year transfers that are coming in, those freshmen, obviously. Because even guys that, you know, like freshmen, like the guys that were on this roster this year, like Womack and Weeks, I mean, those guys have spent a whole year with the program, but also spent a whole year being recruited by these coaches. So they're kind of, there's a familiarity now, I think, with this coaching staff and the current roster. And I think that you see that with the level of retention that they've had this year and what they're striving for. They want to bring a lot of these players back. And I think there's a good reason for it. Now it's just about trying to figure out, okay, where do we see those players fitting into our scheme? Do we need to change the scheme? Do we need to change how they're being coached, how they're being directed, and just kind of where you go from there, I think is going to be a big part of what Brian Kelly has to ultimately decide here over the coming days and weeks. So there's, you got that going on. You've got obviously a great string of recruiting here that you're kind of on. You're on a heater, obviously, with McKinley and Relaford recently. You've got Harlan Berry out of the 2025 class set to commit. I would imagine by the time some people see this, he already will have committed to a school. And you got, that kind of in your back pocket. You've got Bryce Underwood decision coming here on January 6th. That's tentatively, I think, to be decided at this point. So, there's a very good chance here that LSU could go on a big run. Sonny's written about it. We've talked about it some. And that would be even another thing that you can kind of add to the fuel the program here as you're trying to bring in elite level staff, elite level players and pieces that you think can bring you to that championship level. And so I do think this is just a roundabout way of saying that LSU is in a lot better position than they were. Obviously, when Kelly took over, this was not a program that was kind of functioning in a good way, good manner. When Kelly got here, they've been able to kind of catch up with the scholarships. They're actually going to be in a position this year where they might have to cut loose with a few guys that because they are over that 85 scholarship limit right now. So that's another indication here that you've got a lot of the right people, a lot of the people in the building that you wanted to have kind of build that foundation up. And now it's just about taking it to that next level. And obviously being in, with a 12 team playoff next year, that absolutely has to be goal number one. If I'm mm-hmm. LSU and I'm sitting in there and I'm on the outside looking in of a 12 team playoff in the first year, that would be a step back to me. I think you have to get into the playoff conversation next year. And a lot of the decisions that Kelly has to make, a lot of the internal development that these players have to make over the coming months will dictate just kind of where LSU stands in all that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Garrett Nussmeier answered the question and thought it was an interesting quote talking about, that year three that Kelly has mentioned. A lot of new head coaches talk about, year three is the one that you really want to take off. And he said, when a new coach comes to a program, most people say the third year is a special year. Really proud of the strides that this program has made. You see more buy-in. When you have a bowl game nowadays, you have everyone in the roster playing a game. That's pretty special. It shows the buy-in that we've created, and the win speaks for itself. I think that's huge. I mean, look, it's been a talk of the past couple of days of, the buy-in, who's playing in a bowl game, and LSU outside of Jaden Daniels, didn't really have any opt-outs. And I think that was pretty special. Obviously, Zalance Hurd, didn't travel to Tampa. But, Glenn, it's special. I think it's a chance for fans to obviously, be excited about the direction of the program and what's going to be an uber-competitive SEC in college football landscape here going forward. But it's going to be a ton of fun, and that's one reason that not only you should be excited, but you should check out the still running that holiday deal as we over on Go247, 60% off the annual VIP membership. Glenn talked about it. Sonny has been, Glenn, we said LSU's been on a heater. Sonny's been on a heater with his latest recruiting tidbits as well, talking all things. Dominic McKinley just decided to, commit at the stroke of midnight.
Sonny's been having his flu week. He's been out with COVID for a little while, but he's been having his flu game, man. He's been on top of a lot of stuff, and definitely want you guys to check it all out because there's could be some really interesting moves on the horizon here for LSU.
Very, very well could be. And hey, not just football, but basketball as well. Baseball season right around the corner. Glenn, I know you were busy covering, but that little hype video they put together with Hayden Travinsky, man, I was ready to run through a wall. Like, I'm ready to see some LSU baseball. That was a ton of fun. I don't know if you got a chance to see that little clip.
I actually didn't. I'll have to go check it out today while I'm in between flights and trying to stay awake after a pretty long night last night. I was trying to watch the end of the Texas Washington game, but I just could not stay awake. It was 1 o'clock in the morning over here, and I was just about dead. I put my head down, and I was just, before I knew it, it was 9 o'clock the next morning. So,
Well, that's fine. That's fine. But Glenn, hope you have a fantastic trip back to Baton Rouge. We'll be glad to get you back here in the saddle as, man, we enter spring sports season, spring football, recruiting, and good reason for you to stay tuned to the podcast and to our website over at Go247. This is the Go247 podcast. We appreciate you if you're watching it on YouTube or listening on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. And we'll catch you next time. Hope you had a fantastic holiday season and a good new year. And you know what, Glenn? Today is actually the 1 year anniversary of me being with you guys. So,
all right.
Man, time has flown. Time has flown.
It really has. It really has.
For 1 year. And we can't wait to ring in another great year. But we'll catch you next time here on the Go247 podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.